Morning, Life Center. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. Can we do that? All right. I'm looking around. Before I jump into it, let's have a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. Your word tells us to come into your courts with praise, to come in with thanksgiving. And so, Lord God, we praise you. We're thankful for you. Lord God, we open up our hearts and open up our minds to receive what you have for us today. Lord, ensure that we do not leave here the same way we came in. Father, let this word, as your word says, is sharper than a two-edged sword. Let it cut deep down into our souls, Lord God, so we're changed from the inside out. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, let the whole church say amen. 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 Glad to be with you, all those who may not know who I am. I'm Eric, and I get a chance to be on this team and bring a word occasionally. So here's what I'm going to ask you that you do right from the beginning. Let me make it very clear. Today's message is I like to call it a truth-bearing analysis. So it might cut a little bit. So I'm saying that early. It's like not the same way you say in all due respect and then completely disrespect somebody. Not that way. Okay. But I am saying that this is intended to cut. It's Hebrews 4, verse 12 that says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It actually cuts so deep. It cuts into your soul. So the word doesn't really let you hide. So I said this to a group not too long ago. So for everybody listening, my ultimate goal is I am speaking to the greatness in you. And when I do that, the weakness in you doesn't like it. But I'm not having an argument with the weakness because I ain't talking to it. Talking to the greatness. All right? So just know that from the beginning. Talking to the greatness. Not talking to weakness. Not trying to give the weakness room, space. Today's not one of those days where I just need people to understand. And then after they understand, I'm still in the same place. And then next week, I got to find more people to understand. So my pity party or situation just keeps getting worse. That's not today's message. Now, here's what's great. The title of the message is simply, I am believing for. So say it with me. I am believing for. Say it again. I am believing for. And you see the three dots. So I need you to answer that question before I keep going. So for yourself, what are you believing for? What are you believing for? I didn't ask what are you striving for. I didn't ask what are you hoping for. I didn't ask what are you working for. I said, what are you believing for? Now, the reason this is important, I said believing. I didn't ask, do you believe? Every one of us in this room are believers. We're all believers. Now, I'm using the word very generically. I'm not using it just in terms of being a Christian. All of us are believers. And if you ever want to know what you actually believe, just pay attention to your behavior. A behavior is simply a belief acted on. That's all it is. Try to get deep, but that's what it is. You don't have to tell me what you believe. I can just pay attention. I can just watch. It will show. Because the belief is what's going on the inside of you. I always like to say, like, your belief, that's the root. Behavior, now you're getting into fruit part. But we're in the behavior modification. We want to know, what do I need to do to behave differently? Well, your behavior ain't the problem. The belief is, I used to say all the time, it's like, this issue I got here and this issue, this sin here, and I got this sinning issue. Really, the ultimate sin is, I just got a sin of unbelief. Because guess what? I would be a tither if I believed it worked. I told you it was going to be a little, I would actually work out if I believed it would work for me. If I actually believed that listening first would actually make a relationship better, I would listen first. But I don't. Because I'm something deep down on the inside, the real part of me believes, if this person would just agree with me, knowing I'm right, we wouldn't have a problem in the first place. Now, I'm having fun with it, but all you got to do is pay attention to how you behave. See, this is why I love sports so much. Because the scoreboard doesn't care about all that other stuff. It only cares whether you cross the line or the ball goes through the field goal post, if we're talking football. All that other stuff, that's just stuff. But at the end of the day, if the ball doesn't cross goal line, telling this long narrative, don't change the score. God has made it very clear that he doesn't give a whole lot of other ways to live according to kingdom rules except for belief. Do you know the currency of the kingdom is faith? That's the currency. That's how the kingdom works. But all of a sudden, we show up, join the kingdom, and start telling the king how the rules should be. Nah, Lord, you need to show me. I need to see first, then I believe. That isn't how the scripture works. The word says, you must believe it if you expect to see it. You got to believe first, you see second. That's the currency. So this is where we're going to be coming from today. So we all walk out of here understanding where the real fight is. The real battle is for this. So I want you to know, I am believing for. I didn't ask what you were, but what are you really believing for? And I want you to know that belief isn't static. That's why we say, I'm believing. I didn't say, I believe. Belief grows. It can grow it. You can grow your belief. That's why Titus talked about it earlier. There is a passage in scripture that where I think it's Mark chapter 9, where literally he tells you, Lord, will you help me with my unbelief? Not teach me every skill and all the knowledge that makes it necessary for me to accomplish that goal. No, he says, Lord, I have a belief problem. I don't have a competency problem. Ooh, I know I'm speaking to somebody right now. It's not an intelligence problem. It's a belief problem. It's not that you don't know the steps for anything. Just Google it. That's not your problem. It's not the lack of information. There's a lot of it out there. It's a belief problem. And what you got to understand is, how does belief grow? Well, the Bible says faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Belief, that's how it grows. Guess how your belief grows. What you see and hear the most, you will grow to believe. I have never in my life sat down and memorized 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles on a sesame seed bun. But somehow, hearing that commercial so much, some young people do not know what I'm talking about. Okay. But for the older folks in here, my peeps, 50 and above, right? Okay, my peeps, you heard that commercial so much that you now have memorized it. Okay? Well, here's the thing. The Bible tells us specifically, be careful what you pay attention to. Now, when I talk about growing belief, I need this as practical as possible. You got to grow belief. But how your belief grows, you got to decide what you're going to spend your attention on. Some of you believe some crazy stuff, but it don't feel crazy to you anymore because you've heard it so much. Now, I told the earlier group, I'm going to tell the same thing to y'all. I am not in the business of preaching or speaking for the purpose of having a whole bunch of theological arguments. Not interested. That's why I love sports so much. At the end of the day, all that jaw jacket is going to show up to be the truth on the field. Either you can play or you can't. So I am not in the mood to have arguments with somebody theologically whose life, they argue in a point they don't even live. I don't got that kind of energy. Just don't got it. Don't got that energy. I want to know, is what you talking about working? Not is what you talking about selling. Like, you can sell a whole bunch. Okay? Now, follow us here. Matthew chapter 21, that's where I want us to go. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 21 through 22. And this is Jesus speaking. Now, The Israelites, I love the book of Joshua, so forgive me, it's always in there. But Jesus is actually speaking right here after withering a fig tree. He spoke to a fig tree, it withered, and he has the disciples like, what just happened? How'd that happen so fast? So if you pull that scripture up, Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, this is Jesus' words. And Jesus answered them and said, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done, follow this here, to the fig tree, but even if you tell the mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will be done. Now keep the scripture up here for me. Now, the reason this is important, he said, because even if you tell this mountain, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to who's there. He's speaking to us. He didn't just say, if you tell the mountain about me, the mountain will move. Jesus is making clear, because I'm in you, because I influence you, you got to realize the kind of power you got in your own mouth. You got to realize what kind of belief that is on the inside of you. I'm going to be honest, y'all. It's amazing to me how there are people in the world who have not even claimed to know Jesus. But many times they walk around with almost a greater authority because of what they actually believe. One person said to me, they was like, well, Eric, you know, if it ain't Jesus, it don't work. I said, whoa. There was a reason why God in the Old Testament had to change the language. Because he said, all these folks, literally at the Tower of Babel, he says, I got to change their conversation because they're unified and whatever they agree to, they're going to make happen. God said, but why? Because I made everybody in my image. I made everybody to function like me. I just wish the Christians who knew me, who got more power than anybody, would believe it. So Jesus says right here, oh, this is good. He goes after saying that. He says, so if you can speak, it'll be thrown in the sea. Verse 22. And if you believe, say believe. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. If you believe. Many of us want to say, Lord, I believe it once I get it. That's not how the currency of the kingdom works. The scripture doesn't say we walk by sight. No, it says we walk by faith. We live by faith. So the question is, what am I believing for? Well, a simple answer is this. Look around. It doesn't mean what you're believing for is what you want. It just simply means belief is pretty neutral. I'm getting in my life exactly what aligns with my belief. If I want it to be different, I'm going to have to do something there. I want God's perfect will in my life. That's what I want. Great. He gives you how to do it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be ye transformed. He didn't say be ye informed. He said be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world. But why does he say that? Why wouldn't it just happen? I don't know if you guys heard it. I was cracking up when Pastor Titus said it. I looked over to Amber. I was like, ooh, that's good. It's not even an hour a week. It's a couple hours a month because on average, none of us come every week to church. And so we get bombarded with all that stuff out there and actually believe our lives are going to be transformed by an hour of worship every other week. In a good week. As if even in that hour, we're paying attention the whole time. And don't let us look at the clock. We're like, I've been in here 58 minutes. And something on the inside is telling me church should be over. And now I'm wondering why stuff ain't working. Okay, hear me what I'm saying. It really is. Belief grows, it's conditioning. You got to do it over and over again. When the Bible says faith grows by hearing and hearing the word of God, the word hearing is change the word hearing for training. But you got to train it into you. But it gets to be part of you. One evidence that I know the word of God, my belief is strong, is how I talk about things. It's how I speak about things, especially when problems start showing up. Because when you're training and you're hearing and you're growing your belief, when stuff shows up, you don't act shocked. You really want to know what you believe? Why every single time a new problem shows up, you freak out like it wasn't supposed to happen to you? As the Bible already made it perfectly clear, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Oh, I didn't see that part. I know, because you heard it one time in a worship song. Now, I told you guys, I'm saying this all out of love, but if there's something that happens to you when you get older, you just don't got time. I'm realizing I'm sounding more and more like my grandma. Now I know why she just get to the point. But I'm saying this completely out of love, because all that other stuff just keeps us stuck in the same place. Sometimes we got to hear it directly like this. Follow this here. One of my favorite stories. Now, I'm going to use, because the Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. That means the stories in the Bible are powerful. We can grow our faith from them. We can grow belief from them. Think about David and Goliath. Think about the story in general, right? Do you think that David started believing after he defeated Goliath? That's a little late, ain't it? Goliath shows up. Every other person who's supposed to be a believer, all the warriors dressed up, got equipment, sword in hand, shields in hand. It's like Christians walking around with Bibles and all the little fish on their cars and all the stuff going on. Built for it. And a Goliath shows up. And what do all the warriors do? Flee. They run. They all hide. All of a sudden, you got this little joker show up, no gear on, bringing food for his brothers. Shows up. Here's Goliath calling him out. And his response is, who is this uncircumcised Philistine talking about God's people? And God's people get mad at David. They don't get mad at Goliath. They don't get the. Now, before, we're laughing about it, but we do this all the time. I bring somebody my problem. I'm like, but God is bigger than your problem. I ain't trying to hear that right now. I need somebody who's going to take my problem seriously. You guys, I'm having fun. It sounds like I am, but I am dead serious. Your behavior is going to align with your belief. And so if your belief ain't stronger than your problem, you're going to be stuck in that problem. And if you think God's going to change the way the kingdom works because you just showed up, he's like, you don't understand. I've already told you how to be victorious over this. Because if I just forget, you're going to be stuck in the same place. My father used to tell me all the time. He said, son, I was like, yeah, you guys heard me say, I come to my dad. I said, Dad, man, I got a money problem. He's like, no, you don't. Son, you got a wisdom problem. And if I give you money, you're going to be stuck in the money problem. Because you ain't solved the money problem. Money is the fruit. The root of your problem, you got a wisdom issue. Many times we think we got to change the behavior. We got a behaving problem. No, you got a believing problem. And you won't start working on the belief. Why? Because the belief takes work. You got to do that in the dark. You got to work on the belief where nobody's looking. Come on, somebody. Everybody wants to do the stuff that shows up. Everybody wants to be big time when the lights are on, when everybody's paying attention. What do you do when nobody's looking? That's the real work. One of the things that's so critical when the word of God tells us, faith grows by hearing the word of God. I know this is what we're doing. I hear you. I feel it. It's Sunday. We're here. The energy, all that's great. But I dare you to consistently show up on Wednesday nights. I dare you. I dare you. I double dare you. See, everybody likes playing a game. Nobody likes practice. And they get mad when they can't play well on game day. Talking about, man, the crowd's supposed to support us anyways. Man, you better practice like it. At some point, it's going to be revealed. The truth is always going to come out. And so this is why it's so critical. Church, you got to hear, I'm saying it like I feel it, okay? So I hope you're receiving this in love. But we got to quit fooling ourselves. We know good and well, if you measured out how much time I spend putting the word in me in comparison to how much time everything else is going on, and then I have the audacity to talk and turn around and say what I'm believing for? Come on, you know that don't add up, y'all. And so one of the things, when God told Joshua, Joshua, you want good success? Then don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. Meditate on my word day and night. Now some of you are like, man, day and night, brother, just add 10 minutes at least. Okay, fine, don't do all day. But do more than you're doing right now. Get that word in you. And here's what happened. Here's how you know your belief is shifted. It's based on how you spontaneously react. That's how you know. I've been saved, gave my life to the Lord 30 years ago. But I got to be honest, sometimes I got to have a truth analysis conversation and go, but have I grown? I know the first 5 years I was on fire. I was seeing all kinds of stuff take place. Amazing things. Why? Because I just consumed. I abided in the word. I abided in the Lord. But then I got comfortable. Or people like say, life happened. As if the Bible isn't already clear that it's literally, it is life. Now follow this here. When we're believing for something, that's where the fight is. Right now, it is not your competency. It is not your skill set. It's not your lack of knowledge. I promise you it's not. I got to work on growing my belief. And my belief grows based on what I see and hear the most. I need to align my thinking, my thoughts, my everything with what the Word of God says. If you're not careful, the greatest influence in your life is somebody from CNN or Fox News or some expert on Facebook. I don't know. And we don't even question or challenge that. The filter is this book. The filter is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. That's right. Oh, yeah. And so when Jesus says, hey, you can speak to that mountain and it has to move. When you're walking in faith, it changes everything. I never forget one of my sisters, her name's Sandy. And I mean, Sandy's influence on my life has been huge. And Sandy, her son got in an accident on a motorcycle. And I'll never forget. I talked to her. I mean, literally, I am talking to her right after it happens. This is her tone. Uh-huh. Yeah, this happened. Brain swelling. Doctor looking at me like, you know, we're touch and grow. He may not be here. She's like, the devil is a lie. Ain't nobody dying today. She was angry. And I was listening to her and how she was speaking about it. I mean, she talked to death. She talked to the enemy the same way that David talked to Goliath. That means you had to do some preparation when no one's looking so you know what to do when Goliath shows up. Because when Goliath shows up, all of a sudden David looks at Goliath and says, I'm going to kill you, cut your head off, feed your head to the birds. Do you think it's because he had confidence in a slingshot? No. His confidence was the one who was guiding him, who was leading with him. He was the one, like, if he could take care of a lion and take care of a bear, what do you think you are? But we make God start completely over again. I mean, no matter what the circumstance is. Last week, I was like all down because of some, like, you know, a major medical issue. This week I'm all down because, you know, somebody cut me off in traffic. Where's the balance? Now follow this here. This is important. I asked, what are you believing for? I always got to do this to make sure I can calm down. I get a little fired up. Give me a second. I asked, what are you believing for? And that matters. That doesn't even only matter in the present. That also matters for your future. So what are you believing for? Now, if you have a hard time even answering the question, that's concerning because this is how it works. When you don't have hope for the future, it makes it really hard to have power in the present. It's really hard. And the God wants you to believe for whatever. Believing for the future, believing about what God has for you and what he's doing for you is not escaping reality. It's not to escape what's currently going on. What it does is it actually motivates you to handle today, to take the actions today. You walk differently. Because I got so much belief that my future is secure, I can function and walk differently today. That's what he does for us. Someone's like, so I got to believe in myself. I didn't say that. I think Charlie Brown said it best. Somebody asked him, Charlie Brown, do you believe in yourself? He's like, oh, when it comes to belief in myself, I'm agnostic. But I believe in God who believes in me. Therefore, I can believe in me. Because he does. Our whole series we just finished around I am. I'm not, but he is, and he's in me, therefore I am. This is so important. My fall is here. Give me 3 minutes. Give me about 4 minutes and a half. Okay. I was about to say something, but it may not be politically correct. 4 minutes to some of us ain't the same as 4 minutes to everybody else. Let you play on that. Okay. So follow this here. There are times when you were believing for something, and what ended up happening is life happened. So those things you were believing for, you just stopped believing for. You're not getting beat up for that. That's totally understandable. Okay. But we have a story, especially going into Resurrection Sunday. Right there in John chapter 11, where Mary and Martha, brother Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha sent note to Jesus when he was just sick. And not only was he sick, they said in the note, the one you love is sick. Jesus didn't come right away. Actually, Lazarus dies. So in essence, Mary and Martha did pray directly to him. But what happened next? Their brother dies. And not only does he die, they bury him. And so think about what they were believing for, what they wanted most, got buried at the cemetery. For some of us right now, that's happened. For some of us, some of the things we're believing for, too late. That time in my life is past. I'm believing for others, but I'm not really believing for anything for me. I'm not believing what God may be able to do. Here's what I want you to know. And I used to feel this way too. For so often, I would think I'm walking around in a cemetery because all my dreams are buried. But what I didn't realize when it comes to Jesus, you're walking around in a garden with a whole bunch of dreams planted. You don't understand, because when Jesus shows up, things change. So he looked right at Mary. He looked right at Martha. They said he wept and he wept. But I used to wonder, man, Jesus really must have really loved Lazarus. That's why he cried. No, I think he was crying more because where did your belief go? It's me. So tell me where Lazarus is. And once you tell me where Lazarus is, you got to show me where he's buried. Here's what I want every one of us to do today. Don't let this day end without pointing out where you buried some of your dreams, some of your desires. And the Lord is saying, where did you bury it? I need you to get prepared because he's going to resurrect it. But it's going to be resurrected because of your belief. You're going to start believing him. You're going to trust him. You're not going to listen to all those voices. What does his word say? His word makes it clear. Jesus directly said, if you believe this, if you want, you will do greater things than I. Those are experiences you got to have. I was early today, my brother Thomas is sitting right here. I'm talking about stage 4 cancer, all kinds of different levels. And there are times when your belief is all you got because nothing else around you agrees with what you're believing for. That is how the kingdom works. The word of God says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that do not, that are not seen. Did you see how I played on that? We actually sometimes believe that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that do not exist. It didn't say that. It exists. Just not evidence that you can see. And And so when you actually believe that God is telling the truth, God says, I search to and fro for those who actually worship me in spirit and truth. I look for those who are crazy enough to actually believe. You want an actual adventure? You want to come alive again? Start believing God. Isn't this environment today that true believers are going to stand out in ways they've never stood out before? There's going to be a wave. Where do you think the revival is going to come from? Following 17 steps? No, the revival is going to come from this room. Why are 633,000 people going to be going, what in the world is going over there? Because they got a bunch of believers in that room who believe when there's no evidence to support it and they walk differently. Then all of a sudden when it does show up, they all calm. I never forget, I called my mother. Called him Mother Turner, a mighty woman of God. It was in my life. I called her and I told her about my baby girl having cancer. I'll never forget. She was like, okay, baby. No freaking out, no going crazy. Just said, okay, yeah. Just all calm. When I called her to tell her, Mother, my baby's free and clear, completely healed. Yep. Yeah, got it. Why? Because she lives by her belief. Her belief is so strong, it influenced how she feels, it influenced how she moves. If you really want to know what you believe, look at your spontaneous reaction. Don't freak out about it going, that's what I need to work on. I freaked out, I got to work on my belief. Not, I got to get that answer solved. No, I have to work on my belief. Am I speaking to somebody today? Pastor Tyler, I'm going to ask Pastor Tyler, come on up. Here's what I want to leave with you. This is really important. The enemy is not afraid of how competent, skilled, and knowledgeable you become. He's afraid of your belief. And when you realize that's where our faith is, that's where our fight is, the rest takes care of itself. God bless you. Thank you so much.